Good morning. It's nice to see our church so full of people we don't know. Isn't that lovely? And it's really lovely to have you among us. We're both standing in for Francis this morning, who's on holiday. So I'm sorry about that. I hope you'll have to put up with us. I'm Sister Sheila Easby, and my husband is Captain Paul Easby. We're Church Army Officers, which is the part of the Anglican Church. We're trained to reach out into the community. So that's who we are, in case you're wondering. But it's lovely to have everyone here among us. Using that reading that we've just had, I'm going to actually look at just a few words that we will ask the parents and godparents in a few minutes. We'll ask them more than this, but this is one of the words we say to them. We say, "Do you turn to Christ? Do you turn to Christ, Saviour?" The Christian faith, as we I'm sure all know, is all about Jesus. Because without Jesus, there's no Christianity at all. So we're going to think for just a few minutes now about who he is. The fact that he existed at all is not in any doubt. There's loads of archaeological evidence and historical evidence for that. But who is he? You know, learning about him and all that he did while he was here on the earth is a good start. But we need more than that. You see, we can learn all about the Queen, couldn't we? We could know lots and lots of things about her. You could learn all about a pop star, somebody you really like, and know loads of things about them and have seen them many times on stage. Or maybe a footballer, there's somebody you're really keen on and you know all about them. But that certainly doesn't mean you know them, or you know who they really are. So it is with Jesus. We can know lots about him. We know about his birth in Bethlehem, don't we? We remember that every Christmas, and we have lovely nativity plays and hear about Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and so forth. We can read and hear about the miracles he performed, healing people, calming a storm, feeding people, and so on. We can read about the wonderful teaching he did, telling us the best way to live, how to treat other people, and so on. We can know about his death on the cross at Calvary and the awful things that happened to him then as he was arrested and killed. And of course, his resurrection. He didn't stay dead. He rose again and he's alive today. But to really understand who he is and to understand the Christian faith, we need to get to know him. That's what it's about, isn't it? It's about relationship. If you want to get to know your famous footballer or whatever it is, you'd have to have a relationship with them. You'd have to talk to them. You'd have to get to know them. So that's how we get to know God, through Jesus Christ, getting to know him. And Jesus shows us God's love, and we love him back in return. If we look at the Bible passage we've just read, John had been baptizing people in the River Jordan. And actually, the day before, he'd just been talking about Jesus, saying there was somebody better than me coming along. He will come and he will be the Messiah. But then suddenly, here he is with two of his disciples, two people that were following him. And he looked and he saw Jesus walk by and he said, "Look! Here is the Lamb of God." It's a strange thing to say, isn't it? The Lamb of God. But for the Jewish people, that would have had great significance. They would immediately have tied those words into the time of the Passover, when the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt and Moses was trying to rescue them from that time. You can read all about that in Exodus, and there was lots of plagues and terrible things happening at that time. But the Egyptians were freed at a time when God told them to kill a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts, and they were saved. Now, it's a long story. You have to read that if you want to know it. But they would immediately think about that lamb when Jesus was called the Lamb of God. They would immediately think of God saving them. The two disciples decided to follow Jesus and go and see about it. And when he noticed them, he turned to them and he said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Where are you staying?" Again, that's a strange statement that had more meaning to them than us. Because if we asked somebody where you're staying, we'd be asking them where they lived, wouldn't we? And where they were staying that night or something like that. But actually, it meant they wanted to know who the man was. They wanted to know about him. And so they actually did. They spent all day with him. And it ends up with Andrew going and telling his brother Simon and saying, "We have found the Messiah. We've found him. We've found him." He took Simon to meet Jesus. And that was the beginning of a wonderful thing, because Simon was called Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples. And Jesus called him the rock on which he would build his church from those early beginnings. Those two men had begun to find out who Jesus really was by spending time with him. And that day changed their whole lives. They left everything. They left their work, their families, and they followed him. Now, when we meet Jesus, we're not all called to do that. We might be called to do some unusual things. I know I certainly have been. But it's just about following him and going his way. You see, because they did that, because they said, "Yes, I want to know Jesus," their lives became full of purpose and meaning as they continued to get to know Jesus more. He showed continual and unconditional love to everyone he met. It didn't matter who they were or what they'd done. He preached and he taught about the love of God for each person. He had compassion on people as he healed them and cared for their needs. And of course, he died for them. And for everyone, that includes us, so that we could be forgiven. We've just asked his forgiveness. We can be forgiven because he died for us. And we can know him in our lives. I've been a Christian for quite a lot of years now, and I'm not going to tell you how many, because you might be able to work out how old I am. Not even that. So, because I look so young. Thank you. That's our congregation laughing at me. That's not fair, is it? But I was brought up in a Christian home. My mum and dad were Christians. I knew about Jesus all my life. But it was when I got to about 14, I decided that I wanted to follow Jesus. Now, why did I decide that? Because I decided I wanted to be the very best person I could be. I wanted to have the very best life that was possible for me. And I knew by that time that the way to find that was through Jesus. And goodness, have I got to know Jesus through the years, because I've never left him since that time, and he's never left me. Sometimes I've been better than others, but he's never changed. He's always been there, guiding me and leading me. And I'm so thankful for that, because when I look back to, say, teenage years, I can think how many times I could have gone wrong if God hadn't had his hand on me. And he led me to my wonderful husband. We've nearly been married 47 years. Every one of them wonderful, because God's in the middle of it. The same with my children. Blessed with children. And guided on how to bring them up. Don't we all want that? Guiding on how to bring our children up. He's with us all the time. His presence always. That's what I just think is fantastic. He never leaves me. And I want everyone to know that, because I know what a difference it makes in my life. Those disciples took a chance and decided to follow and find out. So I pray that each one of us will want to find out either now for the first time or for more and more of Jesus, because there's always so much more to know. And you see, I want to be the best person I can be. I want to be the best parent and grandparent these days I can be. And I know with God's help, I'm better than I am if I'm on my own. Amen. Now we're coming to the baptism, so we'll just have a little shuffle around up here. Would you remove that over that side, I think, Ian, please? What? Yes, please, in the middle. Oh, I'm on now, aren't I? Am I blocking the screen, or am I all right here? Thank you. That's a bit far over. Wants to be that way. Ian's just getting us sorted to get it right, okay? Has Hannah gone to sleep? Oh, bless her. So here we come to these baptisms, the baptisms of Amelia, who's over that side, and of Hannah, who's asleep down here. I think we'll wake her up. Baptism marks the beginning.